Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
We're joined by John Machota. We haven't had him on in too long.
I had him on when you were gone a couple weeks ago, but yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good because he's great at what he does, covers the Cowboys. John, thank you for your time. What has been the reaction to Stephen Jones saying that the Cowboys have always been all in?
Not good. you know what's kind of funny about this, and I talk about it with my friends from time to time, is, you know, I'm a big part of my life is social media driven, just because of the job that we have and just how much information's on social media. And then obviously, you know, putting out information about the Cowboys on social media is a big part of what I do. And I don't think Steven lives in that world. I think he has an idea of how frustrated the fans are on social media, but I don't know if he really knows. And maybe that's a good thing, because he can just, you know, tune it out, and that's not part of his life. He doesn't strike me the type of person that's checking Twitter on a regular. So that's probably good for him, and that's probably good for a lot of people to not make it a big part of your day. But no, fans are furious, and rightfully so. I mean, nobody has spent less money than the Dallas Cowboys this offseason, and it's not close. And so Steven's going to make the case that, well, that's because, you know, they're setting themselves up so they can re-sign Dak and Micah and CD. And fans don't want to hear that. They want more than that. They want a team that's better than the one that was on the field last year. And they're not going to get that. And so because of that, it's just going to be a frustrated fan base. And they deserve to be frustrated. It's been too long since they've had playoff success. And the fact that all three of those guys that they're talking about still haven't been signed yet, and they've only really made one free agency acquisition. I mean, they normally don't do a ton this time of year. And they've even taken that to another level where it's almost like, if you're a fan, I can see you feeling like they're almost taunting you.
All right, you're the expert among us, and I hate to say that because I know more about the Cowboys than I used to. But I got to ask him a follow-up. Paul, you mentioned this a minute ago. They're going to sign all three of them. It's not like they're not. They would burn down Frisco. So why not do it now all at once? Is there a time, deadline, calendar, date? Why not just get it done and move on with knowing what you have? Sorry.
So for me, I wouldn't get anything done with Micah Parsons right now. You have time with him for another couple of years just because, I mean, he was in that 2021 draft class. I mean, you can, you know, fifth-year option with him, franchise tags, things like that. Micah Parsons isn't going anywhere. With Dak, that's the one that surprises me. Well, actually, it's probably still second. CD surprised me the most just because he has proved it year after year for four consecutive years now that he is a legitimate number one wide receiver, not only on your team, but in the league. And so you know what those parameters are. You know what's going to be a deal around $30 million per year. And because of that, I don't understand why that one hasn't been done yet, because I don't think there's anything else that we need to see from CD to know if he's worthy of one of those type of contracts, one of those top wide receiver in the game contracts. And he certainly has done everything to show you that he is. And that the other part is he's shown you that he continues to get better. There's nothing about CD Lamb that makes you think, yeah, this could be like a Zeke situation where those first 4 years might be the best you get from him, and we might be paying him for what he's done in the past as opposed to the future. I think CeeDee Lamb could still get better. So that one surprised me the most. Dak, they will not say this, and I haven't heard this from anybody in the organization, but there's a part of me that thinks that they're fine with him playing this out on almost like a prove-it type deal. Like, maybe to them, they want to see what he can do under this final year of his contract, because maybe next offseason they would entertain the idea of moving on from him, which nobody has said up to this point. Everyone has spoke glowingly about Dak, but actions speak louder than words. And for a deal with this a franchise quarterback not to be done to this point, there you have to factor that in, that maybe they're not completely as sold as we thought they were.
Is part of this that Jerry Jones deadlines make deals nonsense?
I mean, I'm sure that some of that factors in. I'll say this. I don't understand how what happened with the last Dak contract, where Dak clearly won on that deal and got what he wanted. And then you even go to more recently, like to pay Zach Martin after he didn't show up at training camp. I mean, that opens the door for anybody like a Dak or a CD to, you know, a Micah does not show up to any of these off-season type things if they're trying to use that as leverage. Now, of course, there are very few guys that can do that type of leverage. You know, if you're a, you know, just an average starter or a bench guy, you're not going to be able to pull that off. But if you're one of these top two or three guys that they obviously want to resign, you know, you can do a lot. You have all the leverage right now. I mean, whether you're talking about CD, Micah, or Dak, the contract that they're going to get, it's not just like this is a Cowboys thing. If you don't want to pay them, they're going to get it from another team. I mean, Dak Prescott is such a great example. I mean, you really can't have too much of a worse injury than he had going into that contract year. And he still got everything, and he won that deal. I mean, he got all the money he wanted. He got the no trade clause. He got the no franchise tag clause. He got everything. And that was coming off of a gruesome injury that probably 20 years ago was a career-ending type of injury. So where are you saving any money? I just don't see that happening.
So how does Dak think about all this? Or what does Dak and his agent, what do they think about all this?
Well, you can question Dak Prescott on the field, the lack of playoff success, and that's completely valid. But off the field, I mean, you're not going to find a better, like, team guy, leader type guy, a guy that's able to put distractions behind him better than Dak Prescott. And so, I mean, he's a franchise quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and so he's going to say the right things and do the right things. And so I find it hard to believe that if you know, we added him on this call right now, that he would really go into all this depth about how frustrated he is. That's just not the type of person he is. I think he's pretty confident in his own abilities. Not only the fact that what he's done in his NFL career, I mean, he did finish second in MVP voting this past year, but also the fact that look what he did last time on his contract when it came down to the final year of the deal, you know? And so I'm sure there's a part of him too that is like, we'll get it worked out. And if something is to happen where, you know, they can't come to meet me where I'm at, and there's four or five other teams that are willing to do that, then I guess that this was what was meant to be, is that I don't finish my career with the Cowboys, and he'll take that as it is. But in terms of the financial side of it, I don't think that he loses much sleep over it. I mean, he probably makes just as much money in endorsements and off-the-field stuff, and will probably make a pretty nice he'll get a pretty nice salary doing TV work when the game's over. He hasn't said he wanted to do TV work. He's been asked a bunch, but I'll believe him turning away that paycheck when it comes his way, because he's a great dude, and he knows the game, and I can easily see him having one of these big time TV jobs. And you see the money keeps going up and up there. The money won't be an issue. It's just whether or not he's going to finish his career with the Cowboys. And right now you have to say that it's more in question than it's ever been before.
All right. Aikman, Romo, Laufenberg does the color. No one's better. I know I'm missing somebody.
Even you add in like Marcus Spears has a great job.
Yes.
Daryl Moose Johnson.
Daryl Johnson. Yep.
It's just very interesting to me, like especially now that the NCAA tournament just got done.
Who?
Oh, Michael Irvin.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's another guy that is a part of some highly thought of spots.
Yeah.
But real quick, I was just going to add in there. There's just something about like watching the NCAA tournament and watching a lot of basketball over the last 12 months really just had me thinking about like the whole Cowboys-Duke thing. Like if you have a good career for one of those teams and you want to be in TV, you're going to be in TV.
Yeah, you're right. I brought this up earlier with Paul and Craig and Garrett. We were looking at, what was it, the ratings of the Masters was down like 20%. Now, they had not included the streaming numbers. And also, no matter if you love him or hate him or you get tired of watching him and he sucks right now, Tiger Woods not being a part of at least something to do with Sunday afternoon doesn't help. And I'm sure CBS the whole time was like, oh, my God. And I said this, a 1-8 Cowboys against 4-5 Philadelphia is going to get a better number than 9-0 Denver against 8-1 Vegas, because that's just the way things are. You can't get away from it, right?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. This year will be a great test for that, especially if the Cowboys get off to a slow start. Because the way that season ended last year, it was such a gut punch to not just the players, but obviously fans too as well. And so it'll be interesting to see if they start off and it's kind of rocky. It'll be interesting to see what those TV numbers are and if they get moved out of some primetime spots and things. It'd have to get really ugly for that to happen. Like basically towards the end of that 2020 season when they were awful during that pandemic year. You saw towards the back end of the season, they got moved out of some of those primetime games. I remember that was like a first. But as long as the Cowboys are competitive, they are absolutely Tiger Woods or Caitlin Clark or whatever that draw is, that people that don't really – even have a big rooting interest will still tune in because of them.
John, we are just over a week away from the draft, and they sit at 24. You and Saad have done a lot of work, going through possibilities. Do you think that trading down is maybe, I mean, provided that the situation is right for them to trade down, but the fact they don't have a fourth round pick, only have three picks in that top 100, that it would not be a bad idea, especially if a team, like say Buffalo or somebody, that's four or five picks behind them wanted to jump up and grab somebody?
Yeah, there's no question. It's a great question to be asking right now. I literally just got done writing a story for The Athletic for tomorrow morning about just breaking down the three scenarios of just staying at 24, trading up trading up as in, moving ahead or moving back, and moving back makes a ton of sense. But I still think I put it at 33% chance that it happens, only because while the Cowboys might want to do it, you got to find that partner too. And part of the thing that helps that happen is what, unravels in front of you, just using the last time the Cowboys traded was 2021 with Micah Parsons, but they're not trading back to 12 with Micah Parsons. If J.C. Horn is there, they wanted one of those corners. They're not trading back to 12. They're picking at 10 if Patrick Surtain is still there. They wanted one of those corners, but those guys go off the board. That's when you start going, okay, well, those are the guys we wanted. Let's move back and gain some capital here. So it's going to take some players to fall a little bit that other teams behind them are going to want. The one interesting thing that factors in with me is you throw in, let's say, like a Michael Penix, like a quarterback who the Cowboys aren't taking a quarterback in the first round. But the problem is that the teams that are right behind them in the first round probably don't need a quarterback either. So it's like, okay, one of those teams picking high in the second round, are you all of a sudden going to trade back from that? And I just don't think that trading out of the first round is smart. First of all, if you go back to the Cowboys' history, the drafts when they haven't had a first round pick are bad. I mean, they're all bad. You don't want to trade out the first round. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a player available that other teams are going to want to move up in front of you. And if that player is there and you aren't just absolutely in love with the guy that's there, by all means, trading back from like 24 to like 27, 28, 29, getting a fourth round pick in return, man, that's the best case scenario, I feel like, for the Cowboys.
I agree, John. I totally agree.
Well, Brad Sham did too, didn't he?
Yeah, Brad Sham thought so. Like, it's just, yeah, they're the problem that I think a lot of fans don't realize is like the salary cap hell is now, and it's also in 2025 as well. Like, even when they raise the cap again, the Cowboys are still going to be in trouble no matter what. Like, even getting a deal done with Dak and CD, and then I guess maybe next year Micah, they're still going to have some problems. So they need players, especially players in the top 100, who can contribute to them at least by year two.
Yeah, no question about that. They're going to, whether you're talking about where they are with the salary cap now or after they pay Dak, CD, Micah, it's in a spot now where it's like Will McClay has to shine more than ever. They need good draft to kind of fill in the gaps around that star talent that's going to take up such a huge chunk of that salary cap. So the thing is, too, is like you talk about them not having a fourth-round pick. Well, they also, their fifth is super late because it's the compensatory pick. So you're talking about at the end of that third round where they pick at 87, when they pick at the end of the fifth, I mean, that's around 90 picks. So for 90 picks, they're not going to have a selection. They're just going to be sitting around. I find it hard to believe. I feel like they're going to try and maneuver some way, somehow, to get into that, because when you do as little as they've done in free agency, which is the least I feel like they've ever done, you have so many holes that you are forced to fill with this draft class. I don't know how you can get it done without making a move to get a couple extra picks.
Yeah, it's you know, one of the things they have done is not overspend early on free agency. When was the last time they jumped in on somebody and overspent for somebody as a free agent?
It was Brandon Carr in 2012.
And they're still paying for him. They're still paying his salary. Yeah, I think so.
2012 was a game changer in a lot of ways, because 2012 was the last time they did anything in free agency like that, and 2012 was the last time they traded up in a draft when they traded up for Maurice Claiborne, and they haven't done either of those things since. And since then, yeah, they've had, I mean, hey, three consecutive regular seasons that only the Chiefs are better. Just obviously they haven't done anything in the playoffs. So they've found a way to put together pretty talented rosters by not doing that stuff. The problem is that you sit there, and when you're in the business like we are, you sit there and you just wonder, well, if you did some of those other things and kind of maybe pushed it over the edge a little bit, maybe that's what put you over the top in January.
Yeah, there you go. It is, and they have wasted two windows of quarterbacks who were freebies and didn't have to pay them a lot.
Yeah.
And Romo and Dak. Now, that doesn't mean that they aren't paying them a lot in the end, but they had two windows. And John, isn't that kind of the internal discussion that, hey, we had our window, we went for it, and we just have to now pay the premium like a credit card, and we might still be able to hit on some things, but we just can't go and keep spending the credit card?
That is correct. And the thing is that there's not really too much of an argument when those three pieces that you have to pay are Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, and we'll say Travis Kelce, because they're winning you Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you're like, yeah, well, whatever. We'll just find pieces to put around them. Like, this is great. But when those three pieces are all in the prime of their careers, and you have good regular seasons, and particularly this season, everything lines up for you. You get home field, like you get the second seed. People didn't even think that would be, you would have a chance at that. You've been playing so well at home, and then you get just absolutely destroyed the way you did in that game. That's the other part of it, because I do think if they are coming off of, let's say they just went to the Super Bowl or heck, even the NFC Championship game, I think a lot of people are looking at it differently. They're like, no, I mean, hey, this makes sense. You got to pay Dak, CD, and Micah. The problem is that you've got to pay Dak, CD, and Micah, and all of them were healthy on the field in the primes of their careers, and they couldn't get past the Green Bay Packers at home and really couldn't even be competitive in that game. I mean, that stuff's pretty disheartening.
Thank you, John. Appreciate you joining in on the show, and always great to have you on with us on 365 Sports.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.